Ever felt like you're physically present but mentally elsewhere? You're not alone. In our hyper-connected yet paradoxically disconnected world, millions struggle with genuine presence. Five Gears by Jeremy Kubitschek and Steve Cockrum offers a revolutionary framework that has garnered praise from Fortune 500 executives and everyday readers alike. Since its 2015 publication, this book has transformed countless relationships and workplaces by introducing a simple yet profound metaphor. Our social interactions function like a car's manual transmission, requiring appropriate gear shifts for different situations. Oprah Winfrey reportedly keeps a copy on her nightstand, while tech giants like Google have incorporated the framework into their leadership development programs. The genius of this approach lies in its accessibility, providing a neutral language system that eliminates blame while creating pathways to authentic connection. We're living in an era of unprecedented disconnection. Despite being surrounded by communication tools, many of us have forgotten how to truly connect. The book opens with Jeremy's painful confession. As a CEO juggling constant demands, he consistently broke promises to be home for dinner. When physically present, his mind remained at work, creating a pattern his wife finally confronted. "You're not really with us." His defensive reaction revealed the core problem many face. We're physically present, but mentally absent in our most important relationships. This disconnection manifests in what the authors call running people over, prioritizing urgent work matters over important relationships. When consumed by deadlines or pressure, we inadvertently damage connections with those who matter most. The consequences extend beyond personal relationships into workplace dynamics, where leaders unconsciously create cultures of disconnection through their own inability to be present. Social miscues happen daily, from executives who never shift out of work mode to parents who dominate conversations with endless stories about their children. Most people lack awareness of their social awkwardness and fail to recognize what gear others are in during interactions. This unawareness has reached pandemic proportions, with examples ranging from teenagers on phones during work to executives who publicly humiliate colleagues. The path to improvement begins with awareness, which often brings painful realizations about how we've affected relationships. When you become conscious of your incompetence in connecting with family, friends, and colleagues, it can be overwhelming but necessary. Pain signals areas needing attention, a necessary step toward conscious competence in relationships. The question becomes, what could your relationships look like if you mastered the art of being present in the right way at the right time? Just as learning to drive a manual transmission requires understanding when to shift gears, effective living demands mastering different modes of connection. The five gears represent different modes of engagement. First gear for recharging, second for connecting deeply, third for social interactions, fourth for task-focused work, and fifth for focused concentration, with reverse for apologizing when needed. Most adults struggle with three connectivity problems: not knowing which gear they're in, not recognizing others' gears, and not practicing shifting between gears. This lack of awareness leads to disconnection in relationships, workplaces, and families. Each gear has both healthy and unhealthy expressions. When used properly, the gears lead to productivity, deeper relationships, and effective personal recharging. When misused, they cause disconnection across all life domains. The beauty of this framework lies in providing concrete language that improves emotional intelligence and communication. Instead of harsh criticism, people can use gear numbers as shorthand to help others shift appropriately. L.V. Hansen describes how a colleague gently asks him to shift to third gear during lunch when he's stuck discussing work problems. Another user, Ryan Underwood, shares how the five gears rescued his marriage by providing neutral language to address his constant iPhone use. Instead of his wife threatening to break his phone, she now simply asks, "What gear are we in?" And Ryan responds, "Second gear," and puts the device away. This objective language system helps people become more present without triggering defensive reactions or relationship drama. It's not just a concept, but a practical tool that transforms how we navigate our complex social landscape. Fifth gear represents complete focus, or being in the zone, that state where time flies by as you work intensely on a project. While some people naturally love this gear, many struggle to find or maintain it in our distraction-filled, multitasking world. This gear is especially important for strategic thinking, creative work, and complex tasks that require deep concentration. Reaching fifth gear requires discipline, shutting doors, turning off email, and communicating your need for focus time. Like a car in overdrive, fifth gear allows you to cruise at sustained speed with less energy expenditure, producing high-quality work efficiently. Certain professions, engineering, medical, creative fields, naturally require fifth gear, while for executives, it represents strategic planning time. The traditional open-door policy in workplaces can actually prevent necessary focus time. Andrew from Ford Motor Company shares how implementing the five gears transformed his team dynamics. When team members interrupt him while he's focused, he now simply says, "I'm in fifth gear. Can it wait?" This creates understanding without hurt feelings. The team has adopted this language, eliminating gossip about colleagues being not a team player when they need focus time. While fifth gear enables productivity, people can become unhealthily stuck in this state. Certain personality types, particularly introverts, may crave fifth gear excessively, escaping into their own world and disconnecting from team members, bosses, and even family. This creates tension with those who need their communication and presence. People stuck in fifth gear often develop tunnel vision, missing opportunities to connect with others or learn new things. Consider the amusing but telling story from a New York Knicks basketball game. During a Kiss Cam segment, a man remained so absorbed in his phone that he ignored his date when the camera focused on them. In response, the woman turned and passionately kissed the stranger sitting next to her instead, causing the crowd to erupt in cheers. The man, embarrassed, stood up to confront the stranger with a face bright red for the rest of the game. This vivid example shows how being stuck in focus mode can cause people to miss important moments and opportunities in life. When asking leaders which gear they operate in most frequently, 85% identify fourth gear, the task-oriented mode. We live in a task-driven world filled with to-do lists, productivity tools, and constant demands. Most people move frantically between calls, meetings, emails, and texts without pausing, creating an exasperated, stressed workforce. The pace is further accelerated by technology, social media, and unrealistic expectations for immediate results. Many people begin their day immediately in fourth gear by checking emails upon waking, letting tasks drive their priorities from the first moment. This is like sports teams who never warm up before playing, ineffective and potentially harmful. While fourth gear isn't inherently bad, jumping directly into it is like shifting a car from reverse straight to fourth gear, virtually impossible. Just as athletes need warm-up time to synchronize body and mind before competition, humans need proper transitions before diving into task mode. Our minds function like computers with too many open files. When we multitask all day without properly closing tasks, our mental desktop becomes cluttered. Dr. Jared Spencer explains that our minds sort and file information during sleep, but those who constantly open files without closing them struggle with sleep issues. This perpetual task mode negatively impacts sleep patterns, relationships, and overall peace of mind. Fourth gear exists both at work and at home, with different tasks but similar characteristics. Many people wake up in fourth gear, remain there all day at work, then simply switch to-do lists when they get home. Elizabeth Paul, a marketing professional and mother of three, realized she had both work fourth gear and domestic fourth gear, with virtually no time for recharging or connecting. Like many working mothers, she sacrificed personal recharge time to balance work commitments and family responsibilities, getting up first and going to bed last. When fourth gear controls us, we lose the ability to connect well with others. One woman shared how she initially spent all her time with her ill father in fourth gear, reviewing medications, talking about diet, preparing food, and setting up exercise routines. After learning about the five gears, she shifted to spending time with him in third gear, frequently moving to second gear for deeper connection. Though his physical health continued to decline, they shared precious hours discussing his faith, memories, and hopes for his grandson. Third gear is about being social, coffee shops, dinners with friends, and casual gatherings. Those who get stuck in fourth and fifth gear often underestimate the value of third gear, not realizing it might transform how they work and communicate. Examples include lunch with colleagues, where conversations aren't dominated by work projects, weekend parties with friends or family, rounds of golf with clients, after-work gatherings, game nights, and meals with friends or family. Business truly happens in relationships, not just transactions. Companies invest in social events like golf outings and client dinners because these third-gear settings allow people to connect beyond work tasks. When you spend time with people outside normal work settings, you build relationships by discussing family, history, and personal interests. These interactions reveal character and help determine if people want to work together long-term. Curiosity is a valuable attribute for third-gear interactions as it forces you to slow down and engage. Simple questions can open surprising conversations. Where is your hometown? Who is the most famous person from your town? And what do you love outside work? One executive unexpectedly loved professional wrestling, leading to the author attending a WWE event and forming a lasting business relationship. The key lesson? Learn to be interested before being interesting. People in larger cities tend to discuss ideas, while those in smaller towns often talk about people, places, or things. This isn't about urban versus rural, but about recognizing different conversational preferences. Being present requires respectfully listening, even when topics seem uninteresting, doing the heavy lifting of enduring weather talk to reach relational gold. Mastering third gear dramatically increases influence over time. People are attracted to those who show respectful curiosity and can converse confidently without jealousy. This respect leads to influence, which creates opportunities. Social gatherings typically progress from casual conversation to small talk, then focused discussions with one or two people, sometimes shifting between social and task-oriented topics. Avoiding third gear stems from either insecurity about communication or arrogance that considers small talk beneath you. When insecurities prevent social engagement, you miss opportunities to know others and be known, a fundamental leadership failure. Similarly, treating people as less important than work builds a reputation for being unapproachable. Even for introverts uncomfortable in groups, retreating to comfort zones ultimately makes things harder, diminishing influence. Second gear represents deep connection mode. Becoming fully present with someone who brings you joy, whether colleagues, family, or friends. It's about relationship building without an agenda or productivity pressure. Many people struggle to shift out of task mode or focus mode into connection mode, like the father who gets easily distracted by news, weather apps, or games despite recognizing he's losing connection with his children. Five practical tips for connecting in second gear include: take the time when opportunities arise. Listen rather than talk. Don't force connection, as inauthenticity leads to disconnection. Give yourself away by going deep despite the risks. And eliminate habits that keep you from key relationships. When everyone shifts into second gear together, relationships flourish. Debbie Correa shares how her family, constantly distracted by phones and work, adopted the five gears language. Simply saying second gear became their shorthand for requesting attention and connection, transforming their family dynamics and helping them become more engaged with each other without guilt or snarky remarks. The author confesses his own struggle with presence while writing this book, once telling his daughter he couldn't play because he was writing the chapter on third gear, missing the irony until too late. Tom Nebel shares how the five gears transformed his relationship with his adult son by giving them a vocabulary to discuss their phone distractions and commit to being fully present together. Second gear isn't popular in American culture, where productivity is prioritized over connection. The author contrasts task-driven American workplaces with British culture, which better balances work and connection. While Americans may be friendlier initially, British relationships often develop deeper connections. Both productivity and connection are necessary, and mastering second gear leads to deeper respect and trust in relationships. Most people don't know how to properly rest and recharge, limiting their effectiveness and ability to be present with others. Running on empty is like a phone with 20% battery life. We can't function well when depleted. Starting the day in first gear, like a car starting in first before shifting to higher gears, helps prevent wrecking your internal transmission. Personality determines recharging methods. Introverts recharge internally, like battery packs, through sleep, reading, solitary exercise, devotions, meditation, and individual hobbies, while extroverts recharge externally, like solar panels, through mentorship, ideas, connecting with others, experiences, speaking, and group activities. Understanding your personal recharging style is essential. Rest can be a competitive advantage and secret weapon for leaders. One executive schedules rest strategically, one day weekly, one day monthly, one weekend quarterly, plus family vacations, mixing recharge, connection, and social time. This disciplined approach provides laser-focused clarity when shifting into working gears, leading to better decision-making and communication. Many mistake crashing for resting, binge-watching TV, zoning out on the couch, or simply collapsing after 60-hour work weeks. This isn't rest, it's just crashing. Like a phone that's completely drained takes longer to recharge, human crashes require more recovery time than regular recharging would. The work hard, play hard mentality often rationalizes workaholism with occasional vacations, a feast or famine approach that causes inconsistency. Leaders should schedule rest first, book it in your calendar. Designate your weekly rest day, then build rest into your month or quarter. Plan recharge moments throughout your day, morning quiet time, a midday break, evening wind down. As Natalia from Ukraine discovered, many of us were taught that rest is a change of activities. But true rest means enjoying people without an agenda and letting both them and yourself just be. Life without first gear means waking in task mode to emails, being consumed by demands all day, missing interactions with others, and eventually crashing from exhaustion. Proper recharge patterns restore balance, improve physical health, and bring peace. For introverts especially, first gear is mission critical. Leaders undermine their influence when they skip recharging, miss relationship opportunities, damage their health, and become ineffective like a dull axe. Like the three-wheeled Reliant Robin car from the British show Top Gear that couldn't back up, many people lack the ability to reverse, to apologize, and be responsive. Without reverse, drivers are severely impaired, unable to parallel park or fit into tight spots. Similarly, people without the ability to back up, pull back, or apologize live with a significant handicap. People fall into two categories, responsive and resistant. Responsive individuals take responsibility for their actions and make amends when they overstep boundaries, making them ideal employees, spouses, and children. Resistant people, driven by pride and insecurity, exhaust others by deflecting blame rather than admitting fault. When hiring executives, looking for responsiveness reveals candidates with deep character, worth building companies around. Influence rises when people admit their mistakes. In professional sports, players who immediately take responsibility for errors, my bad, typically receive grace from fans and support from teammates. Conversely, those who shift blame to others lose respect, even when millions of viewers can see the truth through replays. People respect those who acknowledge mistakes and then work harder to improve next time. Self-preservation, our tendency to protect what we fear losing, undermines our influence by raising defensive walls of pride. This manifests as guarded talk, sarcasm, and impatience, causing people to avoid rather than approach us. All self-preservation stems from fear, which prevents genuine presence with others. Common fears that damage relationships include fear of being left out, not being valued, embarrassment, losing respect, or failing publicly. When hiring executives, looking for responsiveness reveals candidates with deep character, worth building companies around. Influence rises when people admit their mistakes. In professional sports, players who immediately take responsibility for errors, my bad, typically receive grace from fans and support from teammates. Conversely, those who shift blame to others lose respect, even when millions of viewers can see the truth through replays. People respect those who acknowledge mistakes and then work harder to improve next time. Self-preservation, our tendency to protect what we fear losing, undermines our influence by raising defensive walls of pride. This manifests as guarded talk, sarcasm, and impatience, causing people to avoid rather than approach us. All self-preservation stems from fear, which prevents genuine presence with others. Common fears that damage relationships include fear of being left out, not being valued, embarrassment, losing respect, or failing publicly. Security breeds confidence and humility. Secure leaders understand their strengths and weaknesses, delegate effectively, and can take on unglamorous roles because they're not trying to prove themselves. They focus on serving others rather than being served, creating authentic connections that naturally attract followers. People are drawn to confidence, security, authenticity, and transparency, qualities that emerge when leaders aren't consumed with self-preservation. Saying "I'm sorry" can be difficult but is essential for relationships. Every vehicle needs reverse gear to navigate complex terrain, and leaders similarly need the ability to back up and apologize. Warning signs of unhealthy reverse include using apologies manipulatively or with false humility, while healthy practice involves sincere, concise apologies and learning from mistakes. Just as driving a manual transmission car requires practice to shift gears smoothly, transitioning between different modes of engagement in our relationships takes deliberate effort. The authors compare relationship shifting to driving a 1963 Corvette Stingray after years with an automatic, initially awkward, but eventually becoming second nature. With practice, we can develop unconscious competence in connecting appropriately. Creating physical markers as mental triggers for gear shifts can be transformative. For example, using a specific gas station sign 2 miles from home as a reminder to end work calls and mentally prepare for family connection. Another suggestion is making your neighborhood sign the cue to put your phone away, allowing full presence with family or intentional recharge time. These practical trigger points help establish boundaries between work and home life. Transitioning between work and home is challenging but transformative when done well. Whether working from home or office, being present requires intentional practice. Sue describes how she and her husband use the gears language to help each other. "Honey, you're in fifth gear right now." Shifting well is an art and a science that requires deliberate practice. The power of the five gears lies in providing a common vocabulary that creates objective language instead of subjective judgment. Michael Lukasiewski, CEO of Church Fuel, notes, "Hey babe, let's get into second gear" works better than "you need to be present with the kids." Another leader describes using the framework during a work crisis, telling his wife, "I have to go into fifth gear, but I will get back to second gear in about 2 hours." This objective, clear communication eliminates drama and defensive reactions that typically arise from perceived criticism. Practical shift points to implement immediately include transitioning from recharging to start the day, moving from home to office, getting into work gears effectively, using lunch breaks strategically, utilizing the 58s, 2 minutes before meetings, to shift appropriately, creating markers for the commute home, teaching the gear's language to family members, and intentionally shifting to rest. The authors clarify that neutral is not a gear, but rather a transition between gears. While a car can be stationary in neutral, it's not a state that leads to progress. Neutral serves only as a transition point to get into the right gear at the right time. Mastering the five gears is about applying emotional intelligence to leadership, resulting in better connectivity, influence, and respect. But achieving lasting results requires intentional implementation. The contrast between intentional living and accidental living is stark. While intentional living involves deliberate thoughts and plans, accidental living relies merely on hope without action. Most people live accidentally, hoping their children grow up responsibly, hoping for retirement income, hoping their business succeeds. True intentional living uses hope as motivation but adds purposeful planning and action. Investment is the practical expression of intentional living. Properly maintaining a car prevents higher long-term costs. Creating a thriving workplace culture may require more upfront resources but prevents costly turnover. Being present with children yields better results than material compensation. The author shares his father's farming expertise as an example of intentional stewardship, and his own decision to leave a stressful job to spend intentional time with family, a move that ultimately led to founding Giant Worldwide with Steve Cockrum. Dr. Scott Koss shares his story of intentionally downshifting before arriving home from work, establishing a weekly family rest day, and scheduling dedicated pioneer time. Linda Crichton reveals how she recognized her unhealthy pattern of staying in fifth gear at work and crashing into first gear at home, neglecting her husband and self-care. The Five Gears framework helped her communicate more effectively with her team and find balance. Practical exercises for those stuck in task or focus gear include giving people morning warm-up time before diving into projects, making non-agenda office visits, scheduling non-task-related check-ins, taking random employees to lunch, establishing Five Gears language in the workplace, and using visual signals for focus time. Ryan Underwood implemented these strategies by using third gear check-ins before fourth gear virtual meetings, setting clear expectations for team dinners, sending pre-programmed text responses when unavailable, and using Skype to check teammates' current gear. The transformation begins with honest self-reflection. Ask trusted people what it's like to be on the other side of you. Identify your true gear order and daily patterns. Recognize which gears you shift to under stress. Determine if you need more recharge or connection time. Choose physical markers as shift triggers. Learn the gear orders of those around you. Practice apologizing appropriately. Communicate the Five Gears language in your culture and plan to document your transformation story. The ultimate reward is becoming truly present with others, which enhances both personal influence and respect. As the authors conclude, the greatest gift you can give others is the gift of you through genuine presence.